Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for your willingness to spend time with us. We are so grateful for you. And as we all push through and try to navigate this unpredictable season, I hope that we are a source of encouragement to you and your family. You know, Tara, my heart is so heavy as I think of children that may be in crisis and are not being removed from dangerous situations, or families who may be struggling and cannot get the resources they need right now. But all of that brings me to an incredible ministry. And Tara, I'm so excited for you to share more about Chosen, for you to share how the Lord has worked in your life this past year. The Lord's taken you on a new journey from your clinical background. And I don't know if a lot of people know, but you're a nurse. That's right.
I am. It's been a while since I practiced, but that never leaves your brain. You know, it's really crazy, this whole deal with COVID coming about, that of course, there's been, everything is heightened because everybody's home together. People have had to do school with their children. So they're I don't even call it homeschooling. They were crisis schooling their children.
Yeah.
Like, we're just getting through it. Yeah. So they were crisis schooling their kids, and everybody's trying to, like, work, people who have work outside the home, working from home. So everything just seemed bigger. So what we're finding is that the issues that were maybe squelched a bit by a little bit of separation in the day have gotten really big. Yep. So about, it's been a few years ago, and you and I were talking one day, and we get a lot of these calls, but I received a call from a gal that lived in another state, and she said, "Hey, I've got, you know, three of my children we brought home through adoption when they were older, and I don't really feel like we've ever attached, and I'm meeting with five other women once a week, and we're all struggling, and we all are trying to think about how we're even going to survive until our kids are 18. And, you know, you and I have been on this adoption journey for a really long time, and so I thought, man, there's a lot of things I can, the most important thing that I can do with her is pray with her and help try to, you know, strategize and walk through. But I felt like that I was a little bit ill-equipped to say, you know, what to do other than I'm going to pray with you, pray for you, and help you find a counselor for your kids. But the counseling for the kids, which is a hugely important piece, wasn't addressing how she had built up these walls with her child.
That's a great point. Yeah.
So I think that was the hardest. Like, I'm not a counselor, so I can't really counsel your children. But at the same time, what can I do as a mom to remove some of the frustrations that I have in order to rightly respond and help my child grow? So that was when, you know, I just really started asking the Lord, just help equip me, because, you know, you and I both know that within our church, within our communities, that because our families look the way that they do, that we're often called about situations like that.
Yeah, and that's what I love about Chosen, is that it's parent coaching.
Right, right. So it's definitely not, I'm not a counselor, I'm not a trained counselor at all, but we have care managers and parent coaches at Chosen who are trained in trauma-informed care. So Lynette and I were at a meeting, like a collaborative meeting in Atlanta called Fostering Together. And we sat next to this gal, and of course, Lynette and I are yapping up a storm. And I sat next to this gal and I said, "Hey, I'm Tara, who are you?" And she introduced herself, and I said, "What do you do for a living?" And she said, "Well, I teach trauma-informed care." And I looked at you and was like, "Okay, I need to figure out this girl and what mm-hmm. she does for a living."
You did. But
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of stalked her a little bit, called her, asked her out to lunch, and said, "Would you teach me what you know, or how do I do this so that I can utilize this knowledge to help the families that we just get regularly called about?" And so that's kind of what started the journey. The lady that I met was Stacy Thomas, who's the director of programs at Chosen, and over the course of the next several months, I started getting trained and one thing led to another, and I ended up becoming a care manager for Chosen a couple years ago. But things have gotten really busy. So I'm working a little bit more, and scheduling and everything is a little crazy. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm doing now.
I love it. And that's what I want to focus on today. You and I were talking about recording this podcast. Just maybe, you know, just some typical behaviors maybe we all have kind of struggled with. We can't go in depth in people's situations. Right. We can kind of glaze the surface and just kind of put our ankles in a bit here today and talk about maybe three or four behaviors that you've had some experience with, you've seen a lot of positive results with. And I thought that'd be super helpful to our fostering and adoptive families today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know as well as I do that when you've got one kid or six kids, that there's always a lot of big emotions. And when you have a child that's come from a past of complex developmental trauma, those big emotions can seem bigger.
Yes.
So we've often said, you know, it could be a five-year-old fit on steroids is what it looks like when you have a kid that's come from a traumatic background. And so a lot of the things that we talk about when we're having parent coaching sessions is, how do I manage these big emotions, this massive drama, or flipping their lid in a nanosecond, or, you know, incessant lying, or, you know, constantly aggravating and causing a lot of unrest within the home. And so,
you know what I found, and too, I want you to explain that. I want to, when a child is so deeply traumatized, what I've learned is they can become stuck in survival mode.
Yes. So
daily surviving this. How do I, because it's just where the brain is. Mm-hmm. You can see it on a brain scan. I've seen it. And even they can even see their family and their siblings, their parents, their closest friends. They can see all that. It's just a daily competition.
That's right. And oftentimes those behaviors come out as anger or lying or flipping their lid. But really what it boils down to is that you see these things like manipulation, aggression, triangulation of parents, but it's really just a trauma response. Now, you and I both know that we have a sin nature and that sin is definitely a piece of this. But when a child is constantly in survival mode thinking, if I don't lie about what I just ate, or if I don't lie about something, I may not be able to get the food that I need, which we both know doesn't even make any sense. But in their brains, they're still in survival mode. So we have to really think about that.
Absolutely. And so you and I've learned that when these behaviors happen, and man, I wish I'd known this 15 years ago.
Girl, me too.
I mean, a good 10 years ago, at least, I really could have used this, Lord. But, yeah. But just to view that child from a lens of compassion.
It's so true.
Yeah. And most of them are not, even though their age may be 12 or 15 or 18, that's not where they are.
Right. Typically, a child that's come from that background, you know, the risk factors for complex developmental trauma, the first three could happen to any of our kids. So it could be difficult pregnancy, difficult birth, separation at birth, which could include just a stay in the NICU. Mm-hmm. But then you add abuse, neglect, and, you know, constant trauma. Then you put all of that together, and a child's brain can do one thing or the other. It can either develop appropriately, or it can survive. So when it's in survival mode, it's not fully developing. And so you see these big gaps in development. That's why we often say that a child's chronological age may be one thing, but they may only be half their age developmentally or emotionally. And then you also have the kid that has a lot of street smarts. So you've got a 12-year-old chronologically who's emotionally a 6-year-old who's got the street smarts of a 30-year-old. So you tie all that in together, and it is, you're thinking like, what age am I parenting right now?
I wasn't prepared for all that, you know, and that's why 3 years ago when I came to you and I said, let's do some parenting videos, some adoption parenting videos, let's do some, and then it evolved into a podcast where we were just going to be transparent and share. I hope that even today, just hearing, our story, or, you know, just hearing things that you've learned on the clinical side will really be encouraging. But all those things just smacked me in the face.
Oh, me too. And I recently heard this little quip, which I love little quips because they just roll off the tongue and everybody can remember them, is that we have to remember in the moment to parent the stage and not the age.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? I love that. So it helps us pull down that compassion lens to say, okay, right now my 12-year-old is acting more like a 6-year-old. I'm not going to patronize them, but I am going to gear my response to how they're behaving, not in a baby-like way, but I can't parent a 12-year-old that's acting more emotionally like a 6-year-old at this moment. What would I do with a 6-year-old? Well, I might draw them in more closely and say, hey, come sit with me. Let's just read a book. Let's take a deep breath, rather than going into what I think a 12-year-old might need to hear.
Yeah. And for me, sometimes it was, let's just go, kind of connecting that, let's just step into connection and just building attachment with our children who may be struggling and come from complex trauma. For us, sometimes it was, let's just go walk around therapy, which is TJ Maxx.
Yes.
Find a little something for you. I would think of a need and then maybe get a little coffee together or a milkshake together, whatever. But it really helps simmer things down. And so it's completely contrary to what I'd been taught when I first started parenting 30 years ago, like ignore and isolate, time out. But they need more time in. And I don't
care.
Even my adult children now, the ones who did not walk through adoption, you know, who are now parents, time in with them just builds my connection with them. Before one of my daughters married, I just took them away on a trip, the girls away on a trip, and we just had some more because I knew she was going overseas and I knew life was about to change. And so why would that not also work with our younger children to just pull away, even if at home, like you said, get their favorite book, get their life book, get their favorite snack, and just, you know, eyeball to eyeball. I love the way in Chosen you guys talk about build that connection.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And you think about oftentimes our traditional parenting is that we want to nip things in the bud, which we do. So we want to correct. So I want to correct and I want to tell you why I'm doing it. And then I want you to like maintain, which is a farce in itself. But when we flip the switch a bit and say, the focus of my time is going to be how can I build connection? Then it's like you're putting chips in the bank. You're increasing how safe that they feel with you. They know that you're on their team. And then you can say things like, hey, right after you kind of diffuse the situation, hey, I'm going to need you to receive a little wisdom right now. Like I say yes as much as I can for different things, but this is going to be a no and I'm going to need you to receive it well. The only way that can happen is if you're connecting with them and then practicing outside of the moment. Mm-hmm. So instead of like when the discipline or the correction needs to happen, going in strongly without practicing ahead of time, if you practice those things, like practice giving them choices, practice allowing them to use their voice, practicing redos outside the moment of dysregulation, then when it's happening and you bring them down from that, you know, big drama, then you're all speaking the same words and the same vocabulary. And you can say, oh man, I see that, you know, things are getting out of hand. Let's go do a chair sit up, or let's go take a walk, or let's take 10 deep breaths. And that you practiced it outside the moment enough, role-playing so that they know what you're talking about in the moment. I can vividly remember and recall a time that I'm like, trying to figure out why this child would not do the things that I've told you and told you and told you and told you again. And it was as if the Lord was standing right next to me going, really, Tara, because you do everything exactly the way I ask you to. You realize that I give you grace on a daily basis. And it was like a ton of bricks. And I just think the more that, you know, connected parenting is not passive parenting. It is a lot of work, and it's not overlooking sinful behavior, overlooking big emotions. It's just saying, I'm going to disciple you. Mm-hmm. And disciple means teaching, and teaching takes time. And, you know, in my parenting, I'm hoping that as I'm getting older, I'm getting wiser, and that I can give more grace than I think I'm capable of giving because I understand that the Lord pursues me with his extravagant grace and still disciples me and teaches me without being, you know, this hammer all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, giving grace, I think that's just a great tip. And it's just it's lifelong learning and parenting to give grace.
Yep, it absolutely is. It's really hard to change the thoughts from the traditional way of parenting to viewing things in this way. And it's a lot of front loading and a lot of investment parenting that sometimes I'm just too tired to do. But if I can be consistent with it, it really does reduce the stressors that my kids don't even realize that they have. We have a safe adult relationship in a safe environment that allows the brain to start developing and the heart to soften and you to see change from the root and not just from the surface.
You know, what a beautiful picture of our salvation, our adoption. Mm-hmm. The Lord put on flesh. He entered my brokenness. Man, Tara, he just changed my family. I was 5 years old when the Lord just saved my parents and set everything right side up. And we, you know, bless their hearts, they had not come from a Christian background. But, you know, one thing that it's been so beautiful to watch in my life and with my kids, all of my kids and my grandchildren, is the healing through healthy relationships. Like you said, building that connection and healthy relationships really bring healing. Huh, isn't that the word?
That's what the I know.
And he'll draw near to you. But even with our kids, draw near to those relationships and they would draw in, which leads us to a sense of felt safety. It leads us to where the brain is, I'm safe here and I don't yes. have to just melt down over not getting every single choice that I want.
Right. Well, and then when you have that felt safety, it's one of those things where your child feels like they can fully trust. Like, yes. even if I have, like with David, even if I have an epic meltdown and I'm having a bad day and I speak harshly or do something dumb, I feel safe enough in my relationship with him that when it's over and I come down from flipping my lid, that I can go to him and say, I really blew it. I'm really sorry. And he receives me back and I don't have to feel like I've been shunned or that he's going to give me the silent treatment or any of that, that I feel safe enough to say, man, I blew it. And our kids don't want to feel like if they lose their mind for a minute and have bad behavior or behaviors that we perceive as bad, that they're still loved. And that they know that they're still accepted and that they don't have to feel this deep shame, because I can say, man, I just messed up yesterday. And
yeah. And that's the whole story. You know, I love teaching through the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. It's a love story. It's God's love letter to us from Genesis to Revelation.
Yes. And,
I mean, it's that whole story you just said of the Lord pursuing us, the Lord putting on flesh, the Lord coming into my brokenness and bringing healing and then showing me, here's how we live in relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think often, and we've talked about this story before, when after Christ had died on the cross and then he's back, the disciples get back on their boats and go fishing because that's what they knew to do.
So much. It's just cooking fish.
Cooking fish. Over a meal, he disciples Peter after Peter had denied him three times and felt this horrific shame that the Lord restored him by being patient and by walking him through, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?
I remember when I was studying for a foster training, and I thought, Lord, what can I take in there to connect that? And that passage hit me in my study that morning that, Lynn, here's how I connect it back to Peter. Mm-hmm. Here, trying to show you, I just showed up, met a physical need, and then I connected with him, and then the correction could begin in the discipleship. And that's just the heart of our Savior. And so in our homes, when a child is, they're going to have meltdowns over choices, they're going to have sleep issues, and we've talked about so many of these things, food issues and relational issues. And I hope that we continue to just point everyone first to prayer, seeking the Lord in that direction. But ministries like Chosen that give us tools. We need tools in our toolbox.
Mm-hmm. We
and
do.
I, a long time ago. You know, when he, just the beauty of Christ, of stepping into our own lives, and then how he disciples us as parents, how he teaches us as parents, here's how you love this little broken one. Because you are broken, Lynette. You still struggle with things. And here is how you do it. And it just didn't look like the parenting that I began with.
Right, me either. And I think that we just learn and we grow and we, it's part of our sanctification story. But if we want to be parents like Christ was, or like God is to us, and how Christ, you know, dealt with and related to all of the people in his life, then we have to start with the Word. And the Lord can give us all of the wisdom and all of the clarity that he has for us, because he says, if you ask me, I'll give it to you. And it is a daily asking. Oh. You can't, it's like the manna. You know, they couldn't go get manna for 2 or 3 days. They could only get manna one day at a time. And so every single day we have to go before the Lord and say, your mercies are new every morning. Yesterday was not easy. Yesterday was a struggle. Help me, give me the wisdom that I need today to help walk this child through the needs that they have.
That's such a word of encouragement to families that our friends that are listening, that his mercies are new every morning. And we talk about, you know, we began with talking about learning enough about what trauma does to the brain. It has been enlightening for me to realize that it is a physical impairment. Is that too strong?
Yeah. No, it's total rewiring of their brains.
Absolutely.
But the beauty of it is that we serve a big, amazing, creative God who says, even in our brokenness, that your brains are changeable. They grow, they stretch, they're moldable, because he says, I created you. I created you uniquely. I made you. And it's not like that once you've had something go wrong in your life that you can't be redeemed, because you can.
That's right.
So I'm glad that science is determining and catching up with what the Lord has said from the very beginning.
I'm so grateful for, and we talked about do-overs, negotiating needs. I'm so grateful for the Lord just entering my do-overs and
Amen.
Giving for the past, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then just practicing connection. Just take steps today, thoughtful, planned out steps. Lord, give us creative ways to keep connecting with our children. It may, more than likely, it's going to be something that you may not want to do or have time to do. You think you don't, but it's one of the most important things that we can do, other than drawing close to the Lord. Second is in our family.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about connection is, it doesn't have to be you set aside an hour per child. It can literally be 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Of just a quick game of horse, a quick cup of, like, you make a cup of coffee or a cup of tea for your kid and, you know, ask them to come in. We play Monopoly Deal literally every single day, and that takes maybe 10 minutes. And, you know, those are some of the best times. It's just like riding in a car or taking a walk where you don't have to have eye contact. You're playing a game and things just come up. Conversations have happened in these last few weeks with all of the different things that are going on in our culture today, that I've been able to have really deep conversations over a game of Monopoly Deal.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't feel that intimidating. We don't have to look at each other. We can just ask questions. How are you doing today? And things just come up. It's always amazing to me that if I just take the time to do a little connection, that's what they desire. And that's what I desire, is for connection with my family.
Absolutely. And, you know, now that we're down to one at home, I don't regret one minute of that, but it was a great time of connection.
Right.
It's silly a little bit in the moment, but like you said, things will begin to come up. And then, those sweet, precious times at night, several of mine prayed to receive Christ right before they went to sleep at night. That their minds were settling down and they were thinking about their day, and they began to think about maybe a verse, and they prayed to receive Christ. So don't miss that time of connection.
Well, the old adage is true. You know it as well as I do, that the days are truly long, but the years are incredibly short. And we're also down to one kid at home and launched just two more. And it well, three more actually. And it is unbelievable to me that we're in the stage of life that we're in right now. It goes by so stinking fast.
Yeah. Emily's hanging there. Just seek out resources like Chosen, like the Karen Purvis Institute, the Connected Child, so many wonderful resources, but absolutely God's Word. Because, Tara, as you started saying when we began this podcast, it is a sanctification of our own lives. It really, and so when the behaviors hit, let's just, Lord, help us to remember to say, Father, what are these behaviors saying in this child's life? Just same in my life. You know, when I get frustrated, what are my behaviors saying? It's really not about the thing at hand. You know,
that's so true.
But we don't want families to find themselves in a season when your entire lives are just magnified on one child's behavior. And when you find yourself like that, like you say, step back, take a breath, and seek wise counsel, and build community, get help. And that's what we want to be here on the podcast.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I love you. I'm pretty sure I couldn't have survived the last 15 years without you, my friend.
Well, we're all on a journey.
Yes, we are.
But when we start to get honest, healing can begin. And that's what I love about Chosen. And we just want you to come back and be with us anytime you can. I know that you are a lifelong learner and you always have wisdom to share. So I'm excited about what the future holds and just the depths of wisdom that you'll be able to come back occasionally and bring with us.
All right. I love you, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today.
Okay. All right. Bye.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.